He's from the north,
she's from the south,
and we want to know what's in your mouth.
Hello, 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 and welcome to In Yo Mouth. As always, I am your hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz, and sitting next to me is the girl with the shiniest hair in Manhattan, my best gal pal, Marie Cecile Anderson. Hi, baby.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
Well, I am beyond thrilled because sitting with us across the table is my friend Corinne Fisher.
Hello.
Hello. I like how we're talking in NPR voices because we're in a restaurant.
I know.
We're like trying to.
It's
to
very sensual.
Keep it a little.
Did you know that people love Marie's voice on our podcast?
Like, yeah, I'm not
men
surprised.
The men have said, she's tasty.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ask me out on dates, please. Single, holla. No, but let's go back. Okay, so this is our very first guest on In Yo Mouth.
Oh, this is?
Yes, you're officially our first one.
I'm so excited. Everyone's looking like we're really, really famous people.
Oh, I know. Well, you are.
This is great. Well, you know.
Guys, for the listeners at home, Corinne Fisher is kind of a big deal. She's a stand-up comedian who performs every single night, which yes. I'm just so impressed with.
Yeah.
She's a writer.
Aging rapidly.
And she's best known for her anti-slut-shaming podcast, Guys, We Fuck.
That's correct.
It's really incredible.
I love it. I love it. Actually, I don't know Corinne at all.
This is great. We'll make a friendship happen.
But listen, I have been doing all the stalking, all the reading, all the listening, all like the beyond. There's a lot of information about you out there.
There is.
Yes,
me, my vagina.
Yes, I think I saw some like high school picture of you on a bike and a clown.
Oh, my God.
What? Wow, you
I'm
really...
only kidding.
Oh.
I was going to say, honestly, that doesn't even sound like something that I wouldn't have done. So believe you.
I was like, probably not a clown because she's afraid of clowns because yes. I read that in an interview.
Oh, my God. Wow. The internet is a scary place because that is
really
true.
Is.
But also, I can't believe you found that.
Yeah, in some interview, they were like, what's your biggest fear? Oh, our food has arrived.
Our food is here. So, Corinne, can you tell us where we are, please?
We are at Snack.
Thank you.
Which has moved. And I didn't know that. Hello.
Which has moved.
Yeah, no, because it used to be in Soho, like, years ago.
There was one in Soho.
Right.
Then they opened this one.
Yes.
The one in Soho.
You should speak into the microphone.
I know. That's why I was so sad.
Our server.
Yeah.
This has been here.
I lived in New York for 15 years, so like the original Snack that I went to. Yeah, and we used to see Meg Ryan and John Cougar Mellencamp walking past it. Because I guess they live on that block.
Oh, fancy.
Not this block that we're on now, though. Yeah.
Not here.
Caramel Salada and Melisande Salada.
Mm. Oh, man. Well, and yeah, so we're here in the West Village, and Corinne picked this lovely spot.
Yes, and so I've never been to this location. I went to the one in Soho, as we said, and because I used to date a foodie. Basically, like, I just learned different skills from boyfriends, and so what I learned from this boyfriend, his name was Austin, still is Austin, he's married though, is just like all the great places to eat in New York, because he is a native New Yorker, and native New Yorkers are the ones to trust as far as getting around.
I'm a native New Yorker.
Are you?
Well, yes, born and raised Brooklyn.
Nice.
Holla. But the question is, how well did Austin eat?
What do you mean? Like my vagina. Is that the question that you're asking?
That's something
I get a little cray cray on you.
I was just wanting to make sure because like that's where my mind went,
I didn't want to answer it. I mean, we know he eats, but did he eat?
He was good. He was good.
Yeah. He was good?
I don't really tolerate people who aren't good in bed because it's like no one's that charming that you need to be around them, you know, if they're not good at that. That's my. I mean, I'm like totally fine alone.
But how do you break up with somebody just because they're bad in bed?
You make up another reason, you know. You don't say that, but...
Well, we should eat this dip now that it's here and we're talking about eating out.
Oh, you guys are going to get to see me go full Jew. I bought, like, all my pills, like, lactate pills. I have charcoal pills. Like, my stomach's just a nightmare.
So you eat all these pills right before you...
Yeah. You can't be. I blow it really easily. Like, my gynecologist thought I was an alcoholic, and then it just turns out I was just severely lactose intolerant.
Wow.
Maybe you should get some pills.
Maybe I should. Actually, this was the subject on Rachel Ray this morning, too.
What? Really?
Yes, about, like, how lactose and gluten can cause bloating, and, like, mm-hmm. the difference between bloating and just fat. and how to get rid of that.
So really, it's just I'm bloated right now. Yeah. But if I quit,
maybe.
Shut up.
You know, your chest looks great.
Thank you. Not my stomach.
Oh my gosh.
It's like resting on the table right now.
So why here? Besides, I hear you have this love of like Mediterranean food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me everything.
I love Mediterranean food, and
just gonna eat.
I think across the board you can get a lot of good Mediterranean food in this area, but I thought that the taste really popped here more than they did other places. I like the way they served it. They had some kind of interesting takes on normal presentations. And again, I haven't been here in forever, but there was also something charming about the original Soho location, where it was literally five tables, and it had that allure of like you have to get there right when it opens. A lot of people in the neighborhood would go there for takeout, but it didn't feel stuffy or uninviting. It's like, because no matter how good a restaurant is, like if you feel like you're not welcome there, or that you have to be walking on eggshells around people, like I don't want to be there. I don't care what kind of celebrities are going. Like I'm just not interested in that.
Right.
In that where we like talk down to you to make you want to be there more attitude that a lot of fine dining has. And this is not, you know, this I wouldn't categorize this in fine dining, but I think it's just really well prepared Mediterranean fare.
And do you remember what dips we ordered?
This is tzatziki. Mm-hmm. And then this would be the eggplant-based one, mm-hmm. which is
Baba
called...
But he calls it
I was like, it had a different title on the menu. Kinsano.
And the one I'm eating
If you ask me to pronounce anything, that's going to go... This is going to go awry. I'm a big pointer. I'm not trying to put on, like... You know, people in, like, in restaurants will, like, put on an accent and be like, can I have this? And I'm like, no.
I feel like that's what you do.
I do racist accents? No, is that what you're saying? That's my specialty, we're going to say. We did talk all Paula last week. Do you know she has a new show called Positively Paula?
Oh, God.
I know. Sorry.
You know what? My thing with her is she just puts her fingers in the food a lot, which I know is part of good cooking, but it still freaks me out. Oh, and she licks them, and then she has those long acrylics.
Oh, really?
Paula. Or maybe they're natural nails. I don't know, but they're too long to be put in.
Get your fingers out of your cooking.
Just get your acrylics out of your cooking.
Out of your
maybe
life.
They're natural, maybe, but they're maybe. Still, it's just gross. Because, you know, if you ever have long nails, like a lot of stuff gets under them.
Right.
Oh,
it's
no.
not clean.
Oh, man.
Wait, so I want to go back. So you mentioned you're Jewish, and mm-hmm. did you grow up eating like this? Did you grow up like...
Well, number one for the record, I'm like not that Jewish.
Okay.
Only so I grew up in a house where like my dad's Jewish, my mom's Christian.
Okay.
So to like I went on birthright and like you just need to have one parent Jewish to get on that.
Oh.
I mean, technically I would not be accepted by the Jewish people because I did not come out of a Jewish vagina.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, your mom has to be Jewish for you to be fully accepted.
Oh.
We're very judgmental people, but I still like identify as Jewish because it's part of, it's a, you know, an ethnicity mm-hmm. as well. And like, I just have nothing. I feel like very ethnically homeless because I'm just like this big mishmash of European stuff. So I kind of just like needed something to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll just do Judaism. But yeah, not religious wise. So we didn't eat. Growing up, my mom cooked, but she wasn't. We were very big into like going out to eat. Once I hit high school, we ate out literally every single night.
Really?
Because my mom started working again, and she was like, if I just don't go food shopping, we're only a family of four and we go out to eat every night. She's like, it's not even that more expensive.
Right.
You know, we're not eating like $300, mm-hmm. you know, meals every night, but just eating out. And mm-hmm. I loved that because I loved eating out.
Yeah.
I like
where would you go?
I mean, we would go anywhere. I just like local places. I mean, a lot of chain restaurants, obviously.
Benigans,
yeah, like
you
I have
grew
a,
up in Jersey, right?
Yeah, I have a deep love for chain restaurants, and I'm sure it's
which
it's
one's your favorite?
That. My favorite is probably Friendly's.
Friendly's.
Which is more local. Not everyone knows about Friendly's, but they have like the best crispy chicken ever. They have nice like appetizer platters.
I've only had like that watermelon ice cream.
Oh, the watermelon roll.
Mm-hmm. Roll. Yeah.
Oh,
it's like
there's
a roll, and when you cut into it, it looks like a watermelon with like seeds, and I don't even know what it tastes like. Does it even taste like watermelon?
I think so. I had that maybe like two times. My thing was the cone head sundae.
the oh, is that the one that looks like a clown?
Yeah, it's for children, but you can still order it as an adult.
For someone with a fear of clowns.
You know why? But it's like, I know that clown isn't real. It's not, you know, it's not like I can't go to a circus or something, or like, I can even watch it. I just, if I was in an alley and a clown walked up to me, I would 100% lose my shit. Like, it's like, you know, Japanese game show style clowns.
Wait, but right. how many, well, I want to know what the statistic is on clown greetings in dark alleys.
I mean, probably pretty low, but that's why you have to always really be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Ready. And how does one prepare for a clown in an alley?
I don't know. Learn some kind of defense.
I just dropped my pants, I think.
Thank you. Man, a Greek salad just arrived.
That looks good.
Wow.
I know.
Our server.
Our server, Michael, is part of the fun here.
Have you ever had a podcast here before at Snack?
No.
He said no.
No.
I like how nice they're being about it, though. And you're like, they were so welcoming. And I was like, wow, they must not be familiar with obnoxious podcasting.
I know. I was about to be like, well, we could always go to Red Lobster. I'm sure they do lots of pods there.
Those biscuits, though.
I would love to go to I ran into someone in my elevator the other day, and he was holding a Red Lobster bag. And he just looks at me so sadly. He goes, man, I got to stop working at Red Lobster. I was like, oh, no. I didn't know what to say to for him in his time of need.
Oh, my God. So I don't know if you know, but Marie and I have worked in hospitality. We've been in and out of restaurants for the past, what, 14,
13,
15?
Yeah. Oh, God, I've only been in New York 13 years.
28 years.
Don't tell him my age.
I like that you said you've only been in New York 13 years. Like, it was just a walk in the park. I've been here 15 and I'm about to murder someone.
God, I know,
well,
right?
I think that's a rite of passage when you're here.
When you kill someone. First person.
You murder your first person. You throw them into, like, the lake in, like, Central Park. You know?
Oh, God. Do you think you'll stay in New York?
Forever? I'm, like, pretty, like, I have a very tumultuous relationship with New York. I'm pretty in love with New York right now, especially because I've been traveling more for comedy than I ever have before. Because, like, I was working nonstop on my career for 10 years. I had no money and no time to travel, so I never saw America until the past 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And I gotta say, not a good Yelp review on America. I don't love it. There's no.
Really? Yeah. There's a lot of beautiful places.
I love Colorado, and I want like a timeshare there.
Oh,
Miami's
like
great for.
Or?
I went to Denver and Estes Park. Estes Park is where the Shining House that Stephen King wrote The Shining based off of is on, and then it's the most beautiful place I've ever been.
Wow.
In America, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. People love. The West Coast doesn't do it for me, mostly because of the breezy attitude. I'm not into that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's a lot of softness. I can't, you know, you say you cunt one time and everyone gets mad.
Okay. Well, I think that's a New York, New Jersey thing. We're just a little headstrong to, like, go in. So this, like, West Coast laissez-faire, like, yeah.
Yeah, I
just
don't like
work.
It.
No, like.
I just feel fat and like I'm faking it the whole time.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the South?
I haven't spent enough time in the South. I do like Texas. I mean, Austin. Yeah. Even like Houston and Dallas, I was totally cool with. I found a lot of fun stuff in Texas.
Oh,
I love New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
New Orleans is like my second favorite after, like, just general Colorado.
Oh, my God.
And then New Orleans.
I was just there for the first time a few months ago for a friend's 40th. Ask me if I remember it.
Do you remember it, Michael?
No, all I remember is... Are the oyster shooters? Have you ever had an oyster shooter?
Oh God, I don't know that I have. I've certainly had oysters, but what makes a shooter different?
So
they
put cocktail sauce and an oyster in a shot glass, and then top it with vodka.
Oh my God, that sounds
and you just
great!
Shoot it?
No, it's disgusting.
No,
because they put the biggest oyster ever in there, and so you know, when you eat an oyster, it just kind of goes down. Slides down the throat, you know? And so these big oysters, so, like, you tried to shoot and wasn't going down, and then you had to chew this, like, slimy thing, and it wasn't a good experience.
Oh.
I almost threw up the second time.
I like a good Bloody Mary in New Orleans. Oh, my God. They put all kind of the kitchen sink in there, too.
So I'm trying so hard to get into Bloody Marys, but I can't because I don't like cold tomato juice.
Really?
Yeah, I can't get past it. Everyone loves them.
Next time you try one, think of it like liquid pizza. It will change your, like, mind. If you, like, go into it with, like, oh, I'm just drinking, like,
Drinking pizza.
Liquid pizza. You know?
I don't even know what the temperature, because like in Romania, they make pizza in a really weird way. It's almost like a flatbread with a cold tomato sauce on it. Mm. And that was delicious, honestly.
You've been to Romania?
Yeah. I've been to only weird places. I've been to like Romania and Israel, and that's it.
Whoa.
Well, I've been to London too, but that was recently. Yeah, Romania was my high school graduation present. Because wow. I wanted to go and see where Dracula was
from. Oh my God. Oh, wow.
So,
I'm like very
you?
Goth. Yeah. So wow. Vlad the Impaler, you know, real Dracula, is buried. You have to like cross a moat. You have to basically bribe a monk to have a local boy or girl row you across this moat. And like Romania is crazy. There's wild dogs everywhere, but you can like pet them mm-hmm. as long as they're not feral. And so you go across the moat, and then you go into this beautiful kind of just like round, like cylinder type building, and there's this whole. Set up honoring Vlad the Impaler, which is weird honoring him because he was kind of like not a great guy. But
but wait, how much does it cost to bribe a child from a monk?
Probably not a lot. I mean, a couple of euros. We were on a tour, so the tour guide kind of just took care of everything, and then like we tipped him, and you know we had paid for the whole tour, so I think that was just like part of it because it's really you kind of have to go on a tour if you don't speak the language because no one there speaks English.
Wow.
Like we like to have this very American like feeling that everyone in other countries like everyone speaks English,
right?
Like, they don't.
No.
In Romania, they absolutely do not. Yeah. I use a sign language, but it's amazing how much you can get by.
You use sign language,
like made up. No, not
like
PP, not American, not like ASL. But like, yeah, it's amazing how far like you can get by kind of pointing and using your emotions and your eyes and your hands. Like, I really was able to get by
around.
Pretty well and purchase things and kind of have semi-meaningful interactions. The people of Romania were really, really kind, which is not the same in Israel. Israel, people in Israel are very mean.
Oh.
Wow.
But Romanians are very nice. And also people thought I was Romanian a lot because of my coloring, so I think I fit in a little bit better.
I love that your first time out of the United States was to Romania.
Yeah, go hard or go home. My mom was like, shouldn't we try England? And I was like, no, I'm bored. I was like, everyone goes to England. Stop it.
Wow, yeah. Your mom is super cool.
She really is.
That's really funny. I want to know what Romanian food is now. And have I ever had Romanian food?
Romanian food is, that's my biggest complaint about Romania. The place is beautiful. The people are wonderful. The food is 100% garbage.
Well, I dated a Romanian. I dated a Romanian, Adrian the Romanian.
Oh,
remember him?
Adrian the Romanian.
But he would have me go get buttermilk, and he wanted to drink buttermilk for breakfast.
See,
who drinks buttermilk plain?
Oh, I know people who drink buttermilk and like salt and pepper in it.
It's
that
disgusting.
Doesn't seem healthy. Was he overweight?
No, he was
buttermilk.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess when your body's adjusted to it. But I mean, for me, Romanian food was like. Just a lot of everything was oily, a lot of really oily meats, like fried sausages, but they were kind of like hot dogs, a lot of fried potatoes. Even I ordered a salad and they basically gave me an oily coleslaw.
Oh,
because I just kept eating it, this food, and I was not used to it. And you know, when you're on vacation, your stomach's never right anyway, but I was just like so bloated the whole time. So I just started going to kind of like. They get a lot of food at gas stations, so I ended up just going and getting, like, Belvita, like, breakfast cookies and things that I knew I could tolerate.
Yeah.
And I would eat a lot of eggs at breakfast, but they would eat, like, eggs and fish and then some kind of Mediterranean-inspired salads at breakfast.
Hmm. Yeah, when we
fish
were in...
Yeah, even their sandwiches were terrible. Like, a plain sandwich. I don't know what they were doing with their bread, or I don't know if they don't have access to getting things,
Hellman's.
But... It was not good.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very, very bad.
Huh.
But the place is amazing. Just like pack some snacks or something.
Where do you want to go next internationally?
I want to go to either Asia or Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking going to Chile or, I don't know. I'd like to go to Fiji and Bali. I need to relax, honestly.
Yeah, you do, girl.
But if I can't, like.
I was looking at your tour schedule this year.
Yeah.
And you're just all over the place.
I've never been on a relaxing vacation ever.
Ever?
Mm-mm. We weren't allowed when I was growing up. My mom's a teacher. And we had to go on educational vacations.
Like what?
Like Colonial Williamsburg, the Edgar Allan Poe house.
Wow.
Like, I've been to Disney World, but that's it. I mean, and also Disney World's not, like, relaxing. Like, I've never laid in a hammock.
Really?
I've never had a drink brought to me on the beach.
My time?
Puerto Rico, then, or...
Yeah, but everyone goes there. That's why I have to go to places.
Cartagena.
I have to go to weird places. Yeah. Yeah, I can't. If I've seen a picture of a girl in it on Tinder, I'm not interested.
Well, that rules out like every coast in Mexico and maybe even South America.
I know. So I'm trying to go to weirder places. But I mean, you have to stay safe. So
yeah, right. For sure. The Canaries are gorgeous. Okay. And the food is everything.
Yeah. What kind of food is going on there?
It's Iberian Spanish food, but they get a lot of influences from the Mediterranean because you're basically in Africa, and like so you get like that African influence, and so you get all this like fish, and there's a lot of dips and spreads. The Iberian
dips,
yes. I do too. Oh. I like to just mix them like I'm doing right now. Put them all in my mouth.
The Iberians have these potatoes. They're just like. Kind of like breakfast potatoes, you know, when you get like chopped up potatoes that they like fried or whatnot. And then they put this like red garlic sauce on it that you don't want to make out with anybody, but it's worth every last bite.
That sounds so
it's
good.
It's so good. Mm. You know, nary a Taco Bell to be found, which I heard is someone's favorite.
I love that, you know. I love Taco Bell, and that's my only complaint so far. I'm obviously watching the Netflix series Ugly Delicious.
Yeah.
And so on the pizza episode, he defends Domino's, but then on the taco episode, does not defend Taco Bell. And I got so angry because I like Domino's and Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to defend one of them, it's 100% Taco Bell. And anyone who I know who is kind of like a foodie does say that Taco Bell is their favorite. It's usually Taco Bell or Wendy's as their favorite fast food joint.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's for quality, obviously, yes. Mm-hmm. But like, people seem to not understand that, like, Taco Bell is not Mexican food. Taco Bell is Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mexican food is Mexican food. And I love both of them. But
right.
The mood is different. When you're hungover, nothing cures me like a Mountain Dew and a cheesy gordita crunch. It's just so good.
Well, would you believe that I've only been to Taco Bell once in my life?
What?
Did you not like it?
But no, I actually love the sour cream. Something about that sour cream that they used out of that gun.
They're putting it out of like a cake froster.
Yeah, it's like some big cannon that they use to like squirt Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just kind of want to fill it with semen.
Oh, Lord. Don't spray get
them
started.
Spray it all over me. No, but every time the commercial comes on for like the Doritos Crunch thingy, that's what I want to go get.
I want to try it.
But
when I get high, I want to try that.
See, it sounds disgusting. It's honestly one of the best things on the menu.
Really?
The Doritos?
It's really good. The Dorito shell is fantastic.
Oh,
you've heard it here first.
Because even me, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like when, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken started using chicken as bread. I was like, I'm not sure. Have we gone too far? Mm-hmm. But I was like, let me try it. Because I do make it a point to try every new thing that Taco Bell comes out with.
You should be their spokesperson.
I really should. God, I need a deal. When I saw Chrissy Teigen doing the McDonald's commercial on the Oscars last night, I was like, this bitch is living her best life.
Right?
She follows me on Twitter, and that was the highlight of my year so far.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I love her. Anyway, and she's so fun. Like, she's funnier than most comedians I know. She's so funny. She eats.
Does she tout herself as a comedian, though? I figure she was just kind of like that Jenny Garth style model.
No, she's not a comedian. That's why it's even incredible.
Yeah. She's just funnier. Yeah. She's
right? It was just like that, like, normal pretty girl, like, and that's why I'm, like,
really smart. Yeah.
I love that McDonald's commercial, though, where she was like, look what Chrissy Teigen just gave me.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's like Harry Winston earrings.
And so fun. It's so fun. I loved it.
You know?
Well, so when you tour, do you eat at Taco Bell a lot, or do you guys find your like the hottest restaurant in town and go there?
I'm more into like I usually take care of the food stuff. Christina,
that's what I do.
She's not a big food person, but she trusts. Like she likes breakfast a lot.
Mm.
So I've gotten pretty good at like researching the best restaurant in the area. So we'll go to like one or two, depending how long we're there, like places that were recommended. But then like at night. After the show, you just want something comforting. So it's like room service or fast food. Mm-hmm. I have to be really careful on the road, though, because like last year I gained 15 pounds on the road that I'm now like, you know, that's why I'm working with a trainer like 2 hours a day trying to get that off.
Wow.
You have to be You have to be so careful on the road. To not gain weight.
Yeah,
so.
I gained, when we first started touring, I gained about 10, 15 pounds.
It's difficult, especially for someone who loves food, and you're doing this traveling, and you're going to places you've never been before, and people are recommending, like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do this, and it's like, it's always food-based. And so I've started asking people, I'm like, can you recommend things that aren't food-based? Like, I'm always going to find the best food in the area. That's never going to be an issue for me.
Right.
Like, I can't, but I just can't have this influx of food knowledge.
Right.
And then I have to just spend the time, like, being sad about not going
not
there.
Not being able to go there. Yeah.
So are you now dieting? Or besides the trainer, are you doing something like...
I'm like always on a diet. Like,
that's how... Well, we're doing it.
We decided we're not dieting because bad connotations come with dieting. Like, you have to like give things up. So we're just doing it.
You're doing it?
Yeah, just, we're doing that weight loss.
Yeah.
Right? And not at all because we just like ate like 40 pounds of Cheetos like a week ago.
That's true.
It's hard when you've started a food podcast. But then also like watching Ugly Delicious, it like kind of like it reawakened my love of food. And it's like maybe... stop like obsessing with like dieting and all this stuff and then and just maybe eat like quality things. It's really quantity too. Like when I was my thinnest, I was eating fast food legitimately every day, but I was only eating one meal a day because I was really depressed. But like the fast food was like comfort food. And so for me, I know it's about like calories, not content so much. I mean,
well, that reduced fat bullshit is terrible for you.
It's really bad for you. And like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of diet soda. That's kind of like my vice. I don't care. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't drink a ton. I don't really do a lot of drugs. So like Diet Coke is my thing.
I love how you said a lot of drugs.
Well, I do psychedelics. So, but I mean, I don't smoke pot or anything. I don't do cocaine. So.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had to be honest.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
We're very forthcoming here.
Yeah, we do drugs.
Wait a minute, do we? I once gave Marie poppers.
Oh, God, I've done poppers because, I mean, basically all my friends are gay, so I was like, I got to try poppers once. And I was like, am I dying? I actually have a recording of me that we played on our podcast. I hated
that. Oh, my God, are you serious? You had a recording?
I fell over a table.
Mm-hmm. I fell,
And then almost got us thrown out of a bar.
I do not
like
poppers.
So the French taught me this thing called happy face, where you mix poppers, like one part poppers.
The French as just a general culture taught you this?
Yes, the French in Paris, like the entire gay community of Paris, France, taught me about happy face, and you mix one part poppers with two parts soda water. Oh, that's a good recipe roundup there. And you cover it, and then you inhale it because the bubbles, the effervescence, like make it that much stronger, and then you can't stop laughing.
Wow.
Yes, and so this is what we gave Marie in
like
a bar.
Like fizzy lifting drink
or
something.
Yeah, I've never done anything like this, and I was like, okay, I'm Marie out with my gay friends and at some fabulous club.
God, a gay man can convince you to do something like no one else.
This man, I have done way too many things
all
with
of
this
us.
Because of him.
Like, yeah. What? Like, every gay man should be a lawyer. Very convincing.
They also got your back, baby.
That's right.
That's true. You said you came to my rescue when I almost got kicked out.
I know. She fell over the table. I was like, no, she's fine. I've got this rug. Everybody's been tripping over this rug all night.
And you were like, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, my God.
You know, listen, I am the best when it comes to, like, customer service and getting in and out of situations.
Marie's so sweet, though. I can't imagine you ever getting kicked out of an establishment.
Are you kidding?
Oh, man. I've done some bad things.
You just don't know her that well.
Well, my favorite Michael Munoz story, when we were working in Tribeca, there was that brunch, that ladies' brunch, and the entertainment didn't show up.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell the story about you under the table, but go ahead.
Oh. No, the entertainment didn't show up, and so Michael was like, I got this. And he went out and sang, like, all the Jewish classic songs.
No, not even. The woman was like, she was joking.
Did you say Jewish classic?
Jewish,
no joke.
Oh, was it a Hanukkah party?
No, it was a Jewish engagement party, and they hired a pianist for an hour. Why? He never showed up. She came up to me. Jokingly, she goes, do you sing? And I go, no. She goes, do you dance? And I go, only for hundreds.
Yeah.
And she goes, do you sing? I go, only for thousands. And then she came back to the manager, and she was like, I really want him to sing. And so I went out, the lights went down, and so I started singing, like, fly me to the moon. I don't know the rest of the words.
Just look at your face and be like, this guy can sing? Like, yes. How did she even know that?
I don't even know. But then they started yelling out, like, sing dreidel. And so I was like, when's the last time you saw a Puerto Rican Jew? right? They exist. I did my research after that.
Yeah, sure. But, Sephardic Jews, yeah.
Yeah. And so I went on and I sang Hava Nagila, and some of the staff girls were my backup. And then she handed me a sweet honey, and I went on my merry way.
That sounds like it went best case scenario. Like, they probably were so glad that pianist didn't show up.
The women loved him.
The shenanigans that we pulled at some of the places we worked. Like, one day, Marie liked to hide under the bar because it was like a makeshift bar. So Marie would just sit under the bar, right?
So I didn't have to work.
Oh, yeah. So no one would find you?
Yeah.
So I thought I was being funny. Now, this is daytime, like, ladies' brunch. I thought I was being funny, so I dropped my pants. Like, nobody's seeing me behind this bar, right?
But so only Marie can see you?
Yes, because the front of the bar is, like, skirted, mm-hmm. so no one could see, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, kind of spotty, so I dropped my pants, right? And Marie is in hysterics, and all of a sudden I hear, and she shook a can of club soda and sprayed it all over me.
Oh, my God.
Don't show me your junk.
I didn't show you my junk. I did not. It was in Harvey Weinstein. So now I'm wet with my pants down in the middle of this party going.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite
movies. Oh, my God. Yeah. You guys are like little mischievous twins.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You don't even know the half of it.
That sounds so fun.
Wait, have you ever worked in restaurant industry?
No, I've worked in like basically sales. I've worked in like wellness. So I was a receptionist at a spa for 5 years. So I've done that. And then I worked at a very fancy shoe store in Nolita for a while in college.
Fancy shoes.
So that's what I've always done. And I'm like, it's just as difficult and like way less money. So I'm like, why didn't I just be like a waiter?
Yeah, so yes, more pizza would be great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Michael, the server here at Snack Taverna, is everything.
I wish we had a third mic for him.
I know, right? But we on a budget.
Well, obviously. Well, so do you cook yourself?
I mean, I can cook. I'm actually a really good cook. I don't have a ton of time. Mm-hmm. I just restarted my Blue Apron because of Ugly Delicious. I was like, I gotta start experimenting with flavors a little mm-hmm. bit more. Because mm-hmm. it does save you the time of going to the supermarket. And then it really did help me kind of learn what things go together and how to make some stuff from scratch. Like, now I know, using things in my refrigerator, I had to make like a coleslaw or just like simple things like that mm-hmm. that might help me in life. Like a coleslaw topping for like a fish tacos.
Oh,
yeah, that sounds great.
It's just good to know what stuff goes together, because sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't even know sugar was in there. And then you're like, oh, that's the missing ingredient when why I can do it from scratch now.
Mm-hmm. One of my best friends calls me a trash can cook. I don't know if I love that.
I like it. It sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds like really like highbrow, right? But he was.
Well, I mean, Guy Fieri is a trash can cook.
He always would say to me.
I say that with love. I love Guy.
But he is definitely a trash can cook.
And he's got to get rid of those highlights.
That's another story.
Bless his heart. But because for some reason I have a knack for just like opening a cabinet and there could be like nothing in there and there'd be like a whole meal.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I picked
that up.
That's
such a great skill to have. It's so helpful.
It's like, so I find it really interesting that like something like HelloFresh is teaching you these skills. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've never actually thought of that. Like, this is an actual skill to have that you can just go in.
Oh, absolutely.
Why HelloFresh and not something like Hungry Root or...
I'm doing Blue Apron.
Or not HelloFresh, excuse me. Blue Apron or why
not? Oh, I mean, because I get it for free because they sponsor my podcast.
Oh, all right.
That's 100% rule.
Blue Apron, hey, in your mouth.
I was interested in like Purple Carrot though, because from Stopped Eating Meat. But you can tailor Blue Apron for a pescatarian diet too. It's or even a vegetarian diet. It's not hard. It has it all laid out for you. I mean, it's super common to be vegetarian these days anyway. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're going vegan, that's difficult and you would have to do something more specific, but
so you just went pescatarian?
Yeah, just for New Year's. That was my New Year's resolution. Nice. I had wanted to stop eating meat for a really long time.
Yeah.
Really? My aunt's a vegetarian. Yeah.
Do you not like meat, or is it like for like a save the animals reason?
It's a save the animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't love meat anyway. Well, I mean, I don't love... it depends. I mean, like, I love a burger. I love a cheesesteak. I mean, I'm not like a big steak person.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, bacon, I miss the things, but it I read too much about it. And then I got a dog, and I think that put me over the edge. Oh. Just, like, yeah. Living with an animal and having that kind of a close relationship with an animal, I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And plus Okja, you know, that really put a lot of people over the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, wow. It was hard.
I've always wanted, we talked about me wanting a baby pig, a miniature pig to run around the house.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cute?
Thank you.
I'd name him Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I've seen Kevin Bacon walking around New York.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're like 1 degree.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he looked at, he was, I saw him look, I had this weird purse for a while that had a clock on it. And I saw this guy was behind me and kept looking at my purse. And I was like, oh my God, has this guy never seen a clock purse before? And I turned around and it was Kevin Bacon.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, he can look. All right. I felt better about it, yeah.
Well, I was vegetarian in college until I got drunk at a Waffle House one night and ate biscuits and gravy.
So you're just
that
like,
was like what made me fall off the wagon. I was like, you know what? My body was craving meat so badly.
Most people I know, I know very few people who went vegetarian or vegan and then just stayed consistently. Know so many people who are like, yeah, I was vegetarian for 5 years or I was vegetarian mm-hmm. for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to someone. But everyone who's, like, gone, specifically vegan, they're like, oh, yeah, my health improved greatly. Mm. And then I'm like, well, why'd you stop? And they're like, well, it's really fucking hard. Like, when you're vegan, you spend so much time thinking of, like, where you can eat, especially if you're traveling. And there's some places where, like, being vegan or even vegetarian is just, unheard of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. People would look at you crazy.
Yeah, in Romania, for instance, I can't imagine having to try to do that. I don't think it...
Right. L.A., perfect. Yeah. You can be vegan there, no problem.
Yeah, L.A., Portland, Seattle, those are places where you can do it.
Right.
I was vegan 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I was in the best shape of my life. That's that picture of me in that, like,
oh,
sling.
Oh, yeah, you looked hot.
With abs and things.
Well, so Beyonce just posted a couple pictures on her Instagram about, like, join me being vegan because Coachella is coming up. She was like, 44 days to Coachella, and so she's going vegan.
Yeah, she'll...
I thought she was always vegan. She's not. She goes back and forth.
I think she goes back and forth. So I went and started investigating this full mm-hmm. program that she's on.
Yeah, she's on some weird thing. I've looked into it before, too.
Yeah. She posted a picture of her food. She doesn't really do that, but it looked like a nice, fancy English muffin with some avocado on it.
Oh, really?
But, like, the avocado was sculpted and fanned out. And then, I don't know if she made it herself.
No, I doubt.
There's not a chance. Beyonce hasn't touched a knife in years. Not a chance.
Yeah, but I thought about it for a hot second. Maybe I'll join Beyonce and be vegan.
It's
and then
rough. It's a hard life.
It is a hard life, but everyone I know, like I know a dog trainer / comic, shout out Justin Silver, hot bod. But like he had a hot bod already, and then he went vegan, and it was like, oh my God.
Oh, really?
I have to unfollow you on Instagram.
Justin Silver.
Look him up.
I mean, triple threat, hot comic and dog trainer. I already told my boyfriend that if... we have a breakup.
Oh my God.
We have so much more food. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
We have some shrimp souvlaki.
Sorry, this is why you can't let me order.
No, this is amazing.
Because I go haywire. This is beautiful.
Oh yeah, halloumi skewers.
Do we want to take this stuff to go, or do you want to just keep it on the?
We'll just keep it on the table.
Keep it on.
While we figure this out, now would be a good time to cut
to our sponsors.
Hey, Marie, do you like your job?
I hate it.
So why don't you quit?
I'm too afraid.
What do you mean you're too afraid?
Every time I get enough courage, I just chicken out.
Well, you know what? You're in luck because I just found this website the other day that can help you lose your job.
What?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's called jobfucker.com.
What? That sounds like a miracle.
It is. You go to the site and you look at people's profiles mm-hmm. and then you pick, you know, Mary Lou or Billy Bob or, you know, Johannes and they'll come to your job and they'll be like, point me to the boss, and you point them, and then they go in there and fuck shit up in your name. So you don't have to.
Oh my God, jobfucker.com. This is something I've been looking for my entire life.
That's right. And you know what? If you use In Your Mouth, you get a 15% discount and a hand job.
Well, my goodness, if I'm not going to go to jobfucker.com today, then I don't know what I'm going to do.
I mean... Jobfucker.com is a proud sponsor of the In Your Mouth podcast. Go to jobfucker.com for a 15% discount and a hand job. Welcome back to In Your Mouth, and now it's time for
Food News Update!
KFC is running out of gravy!
Wait, what?
Yeah, KFC in London is out of gravy, y'all.
They have one job!
No, they ran out of chicken last week. And now this week, they've run out of gravy. Can someone explain this to me?
Am I allowed to talk during this?
Yes. Oh, please. We're trying to educate you with what's going on in the world.
How do you run out of gravy, though?
There was like a warehouse shortage, like the gravy like warehouse.
No. Well, what happened is...
Is there an ingredient missing or...
Well, so last month, KFC in the UK, they switched... like delivery services.
Okay.
So they had gone from like a specific like food distribution specialist to DHL's like more cut rate service.
Okay.
So all of a sudden like the trucks weren't delivering chickens. So they actually had to shut down 700 of their 900 stores across the UK didn't even have chicken to serve at KFC.
So there was just like a lapse in delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the chickens just started protesting. They're like, we're not going to die for KFC anymore. Popeyes maybe.
Yeah. But I love that KFC UK and Ireland tweeted, the chicken crossed the road, just not to our restaurant.
Okay. They have a good British sense of humor about it. I love it. I love it.
Actually, I think that's more than a British sense of humor. It's not so dry. You
know? It's not ab fab, yeah.
Oh, God. Munchies tweeted yesterday on March 4th a picture of barbecue from Fat Sow, and they said, why is Brooklyn barbecue taking over the world? And then Twitter blew up.
So, Corinne, people, we need to show you this picture.
Okay, I'm familiar Brooklyn with Fat Sow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they tweeted this picture of like three pieces of meat, two pickles, and a potato roll. That's the picture.
Okay. From Fat Sow. But okay. So then, of course, people were just attacking it on Twitter, being like, what, Brooklyn barbecue? But I guess the article really does talk about, like, so there's places all over the world now mm-hmm. that are opening these restaurants and claiming it's Brooklyn barbecue.
Like Brooklyn-style barbecue?
Brooklyn-style, like Williamsburg, Fat Sow.
But aren't they, isn't Brooklyn just emulating the South?
You would think. But did you know that Fat Sow, the chef, is from North Jersey?
I didn't know that, actually.
I didn't know how to eat there.
Is barbecue big in North Jersey? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, like, it's definitely around, but I've never been to it. I mean, it's usually like, oh, God, what's this place? Famous Dave's? Like, it's like that kind of style stuff. I hate Famous Dave's. They had a roll of paper towels on the table, and I was like, this is where I have to draw
this
the line.
Unacceptable.
I just found it to be disgusting. Like, it's just over. It's just too much.
Well, as a Southern girl, I'm like, what the? That's not true, but I have to admit, this is really like, this is real bad. We're going to get a lot of hate mail, but the best barbecue I've ever had?
Yeah.
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan.
Marie, me too. The best ribs I ever had were in Detroit.
Slow's? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember where it was. I was in a college gig. I was just, it was literally walked into a place.
Really?
And it was Detroit, and I had the best ribs I ever had.
Ribs
are one of my favorite. When I was eating meat, ribs were like
me
my
too.
Favorite meat product.
There's this place in Detroit, Slow's, and I love it so much. The ribs are to die for. But then
God,
also,
I it was years ago. I don't.
Well, they have you might remember. So they have five different barbecue sauces on the table. Every single table in the place. Mm. It's a big place. But then I love all the different sauces. I like to switch it up with a sweet one, and a savory one, a spicy one.
They must be doing something in Detroit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But it's that one is specifically Southern barbecue in Detroit. So, yeah. But the chef in Brooklyn at Fat Sow is like, I mean, I'm not trying to emulate like Southern barbecue. I'm just doing I like barbecue and... Here it is. I'm like, all right, Fat Sounds.
The best barbecue I've ever had in New York is from Houston. I like their
Dallas barbecue.
Like no, their ribs were great. Oh, I do love Dallas barbecue, but more
yes.
just because it's a huge drinks and like, I mean, all my gay friends take.
Oh my
there.
God, yeah. I know, I love that.
No,
well,
the
I
best
like,
barbecue. Yeah. Is in my mother's backyard.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
No, is
good
she
answer.
Doing like okay? So I heard that most times, like what Americans call barbecue is actually really a cookout because barbecue you need some kind of fire pit. Is this correct? I'm confused.
Well, were they talking like about that on Ugly just, Delicious?
Like a cookout's a grill.
They have might, you gotten to the barbecue episode?
Yes, but they, I heard it before that. Like, yeah. They might have... But, like, people get really upset around 4th of July when you say, like, oh, I'm having a 4th oh, yeah. of July barbecue. But, like, when you're cooking burgers on a grill, that's just a cookout. So barbecue has to be, I think, some kind of fire... Yeah. Beyond a grill?
Yeah. No, I bet you're right.
I'm not a meat expert,
obviously.
I mean,
Mama Gladys doesn't have a smoker out back. And right. Like a
oh,
fire pit.
Papa Anderson's got a smoker.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You go. My
Do you have a deep fryer?
Make, no, no deep fryer.
Smoker? I don't even know her.
Good one, Munoz. Now, my mama makes the best. Actually, it's a team effort. It's really adorable when my parents... cook ribs because my mom's like in charge of slow roasting them in the oven all day long, and then my dad's in charge of grilling them off on the grill.
God,
so it's
that
like
sounds amazing.
That's
it's really cute.
Marie makes some killer ribs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do make some really good ribs. Now that you're pescatarian, you should just come on over for some ribs.
You know what? Honestly, like, but it's like I talked to a lot of people. It's like I'm sure I'll eat meat again at you know small portions in my mm-hmm. lifetime. It's not like oh. January 1st, 2018, I'll never eat meat again. Like, of course I will. Mm-hmm. And I do have a rule that if people accidentally serve me, like, meat, like, if a restaurant does it, I have to eat it. Because then, like, if I'm doing it for the animals, well, the animal already died. So, like, if the animal's dead and then gets thrown in the trash, that, to me, seems more disrespectful. I, like, set up this these weird rules for myself.
That's great, though.
Because, like... Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I'm not going to throw it in the trash. That's right. A slap in the face.
Right.
Like, if someone murdered me, I would be like, at least, you know, eat my flesh.
Right.
Like a gentleman.
Yeah, my best friend is...
like a gentleman.
My best friend is vegetarian, and I accidentally gave her some chicken once. I was in charge of ordering Thai, and, like, I just messed it up, and then she started eating it, and I took a bite, and I was like, oh, my God, there's chicken in it. And she was so cool about it.
Yeah.
I thought she was... I mean, I've served enough tables in New York City to accidentally serve some...
Yeah, and there's, like, meat. Yeah. Seeps into sauces and stuff. And like, yeah. It's like, you know, if you're eating out... And you're not watching everything, like, meat has seeped into something you've eaten. Right. Like French onion soup is, like, a meat broth. Like, there's, like, little things, like, you don't even know have meat in them.
Right.
You're fine.
But this is a good segue. Excuse me. I'm choking on some span of COVID over here. A great segue into our last headline of the day. Environmentalists are cheering the latest burger at a Sonic drive-in.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, Sonic has come out with a new... Slinger. It's a new hamburger that they're calling a slinger.
Uh-huh.
And it's 80% beef and 20% mushrooms.
What? Oh, and I also read it's 350 calories.
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
It's pretty low.
You can eat a burger and feel like you're getting away with something, mm-hmm. is the quote. Mm-hmm. But the environmentalists are cheering it on mm-hmm. because it's like reducing gas emissions.
Well,
because
it's just less meat. Yeah. I mean, I think they were saying, I was reading... 30% of the beef in every burger in America was replaced with mushrooms, it would reduce greenhouse emissions by the same amount as taking 2.3 million vehicles off the road.
That's crazy.
Is it because of the energy that's used to kill and process the animals?
Yeah, kill, process, and then I guess deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see. I forget that, you know, meat is also an environmental issue. I mean, I know it is in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. I just keep forgetting it. I don't know, maybe because I want to, because I'm like, I can't worry about the environment, too.
There's a great documentary on Netflix. I can't remember the name of it. It has a fork in the title. But mm-hmm. they talk all about if everybody went vegetarian, how much we would save the world.
See, that
would just be huge.
That's so crazy. Because I think people usually just think of vegetarian as like, yeah, like, pussy animal lovers or something.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of us are.
Right.
But,
no, you're saving us, the children of the world.
That's really interesting.
Children of the
man. Corinne, we're lifting you up now.
I'm going to give you a honey now.
Well, Corinne, I don't know if you know, but Marie and I got to take a field trip.
Field trip.
Field trip to the Sonic food truck to
Very
try
jealous.
Out these slingers.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talk to the slinger king himself, the VP of Innovation and Product Development.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up.
Welcome to a very special In Yo Mouth field trip edition.
We are on the side of the street in New York City.
Oh, my God. We are so excited to be here at the Sonic Food Truck, where they're serving their new signature sliders.
Oh, my God. They just handed them to us, and we get to eat it. We get to put it in our mouth.
Put it in your mouth.
Okay, wait.
We're about to literally eat this. This is the first thing we've eaten all day.
I know. We're on the side of the street eating some burgers. Bear Burger Cheers. Okay.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
And Mmm.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God. Your face, you have my man, I love it.
Mom. That's nothing new. Oh, my God. So, apparently, Sonic invited us here because they've thrown mushrooms.
You got a little schmutz on the side of your mouth. Hold on, baby. Baby girl. There we
okay.
go.
Okay. Mmm. Once again, so Sonic invited us here because they have thrown mushrooms into their burger mix.
What?
Yes. They've taken 100% all pure beef, mushrooms, and the seasonings.
Oh, all the seasonings.
And put it into a slider. And so, you know, Marie and I, Tanya and Cindy over here, had to come out and taste it.
And our fat girls with the pH are just loving this.
Oh, my God. This is really good.
It's really good, y'all.
I can't.
Mm. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Is that the chef?
It is. It's Scott Uline, creator of product development. Oh, my God. We have to talk to him.
Oh, my God. Do you think he'll talk to us?
I think so. I'm so excited.
All right. Wait. We're going to finish our sliders and then go chat with the man himself.
Oh, my God. It's like meeting royalty.
I'm going to bow.
Oh, my God, guys. We are here with Scott Uline, VP of Product Innovation and Development.
Oh, let's bow.
Bow.
We are not worthy. May I kiss your ring?
Oh, please.
I feel like I'm
You wouldn't be the first today.
Oh, we're hoisting him up now into the sky and celebrating.
On a golden bun.
Oh, my God. I wish y'all could see it, but I guess you can't. You just can listen to us.
Right? And just feel it. Feel it through the podcast.
Yes.
How excited we are and all the royalty that's coming in. So, Scott, tell us, why did you decide to put mushrooms into the Sonic slider?
How about I first put a Sonic signature slinger in your mouth?
Yes!
Oh, my God. That was the sexiest thing that has ever come out of anyone's mouth. That was great. I think I can retire now.
I think so, too. Boca?
It's a wrap.
Boca.
No, but really, why mushrooms in the slinger?
So think about this. Mushrooms and steak are natural, so why not mushrooms and other beef?
Great, but what do you say to, like, the mushroom naysayers? Like, I feel like there are people out there that don't like mushrooms.
I hate those kinds of people, by the way.
Yeah,
if you don't
too.
Like a mushroom, don't be calling
yeah.
me.
Get that.
I'm with you.
You ain't gonna be my man.
Mm-hmm.
I can be your man.
Oh, my gosh. Am I going to get a phone number after this?
If you're a mushroom naysayer, they're in there only for flavor, just to amp up the beefiness, the savory flavors. Okay. You talk about umami.
Umami.
There's lots of umami.
Oh, my God. This is like bedroom talk.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Yeah.
I love that. Besides mushrooms, like, what's your favorite thing to put on a burger?
If it's me, it's a sauce, it's got to have a little mayo, it's got to have a little horseradish, a little mustard, and a touch of ketchup. Sweet, sour, bitter, salty, all those flavors in there, spread onto a bun with a nice beefy burger patty.
Oh, wait.
I'm in.
Did we just get a recipe to a secret sauce?
Oh, my gosh. That horseradish has really got me going.
Only just a little tiny, just
oh my
little
God.
Tiny bit.
Wow.
The ground is wet, y'all.
I have to say, when I bit into that burger, it was so moist.
It was great.
You know, moist is a word we don't use enough in the English language.
We have a lot of moist naysayers as well.
Yeah, you take your mushrooms and your
moist and you get out of, get the fork out of here.
Get the
Well, thank you to Scott for having us down here to try these signature slingers. We are so excited. Folks, we're going to get back to kissing his feet and eating some slingers.
Yeah, y'all. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you so
All
much
right,
for chatting
thanks.
With
hey,
us.
Hey, under 350 calories, the best thing yet.
What?
Oh, my God.
We didn't know that. What?
Oh, my God. Great for our 2018 Do
doing It.
Because we're not dieting. We're doing
You're
it.
We're doing it.
Then That's... signature slingers are going to do it.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
You.
Wait,
I
can you
that.
Just say one more time what you just said earlier?
What you're going to do to us?
I'm going to put a Sonic signature slinger in your mouth.
Yeah! Hey, hey, and we're back here at In Yo Mouth with our good friend Corinne Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys.
How many plates of food do we have in front of us right now?
We have 3, 6. I don't know, like, we've had about 10 plates of food.
I'm really proud of us.
I'm really proud of you for picking this place.
Well, I think it's important to just, like, try a bunch of different things, because, like, even if I'm looking at a menu, and, like, a lot of times my mom and I have very similar tastes, but I'll always be like, order something different from each other so we can each have half. Mm-hmm. And then, like, eat half of it and then do the switch the plates thing.
That's what I do with my mama.
I love doing it. I do it with my friend Harrison, too, like, because we've been trying new restaurants. We went to Momofuku Nishi because we've been watching so much Dave Chang.
Oh, what'd you get?
We got the sepe de sichi, which is, like, the kind of classic thing. And then we got... He does a vegan Caesar salad. It's not a vegan restaurant, but his whole thing is kind of making foods that taste like other foods, non-traditionally. And then I got, what else did we get? We got something with pesto in it. I mean, a pasta dish with pesto in it. It was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it. They also have the impossible burger there, which is... vegetarian.
Oh, really?
Burger.
One of the restaurants we work at sells that impossible meat too. It's really good. It tastes like sausage. Yeah.
I've heard of this. I haven't tried it.
No, I just wasn't in the mood for a burger, but like I'm like absolutely when I'm having that craving that I know I'll eventually have, I'm going to go there and get it.
Well, can you recommend any other New York City spots you love?
Yes, absolutely. I was just looking. So one of my favorite types of food besides Mediterranean is Indian food. And I think it's kind of can be overwhelming in New York City because there's so much. There's little India and you're like, what's the difference between all these restaurants? So there's two restaurants that I really like. My favorite one is in the Murray Hill area, Gramercy kind of area. It's called Tiffinwala.
Oh.
And so it does this traditional Indian lunch, which is great for someone like you and Marie, me and you, Marie, because we love sauces. And so the tiffin kind of gives you like a dosa or some kind of a bread or a rice and then a bunch of different sauces. And I like it because you get to try a lot of different flavors and you get to dip and it doesn't feel so heavy, especially it's good for lunch because you're not like sitting down and eating a whole plate of like Indian food, which could weigh you down for the rest of the day.
Right.
And then for like a kind of a nicer ambiance and just a really well-done classic Indian food, I like Drunken Monkey on the Upper East Side.
Oh, I've heard
it's
of
really
that.
It's really fun. Yeah, I just randomly went. It's because I constantly need to look for places that are open late.
Right.
Because
do you eat before a show or after?
I don't like eating before a show. I feel really heavy. I don't feel as funny. It's really hard for me. And also, like, for me, eating after work is a big part of my life. It's kind of like the reward.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, it would be great if I wasn't eating a full meal at 2 in the morning. But it's just so much a part of my process.
But I love your Instagram posts.
Yeah,
then. Your Instagram stories at that time are just amazing. They make me very hungry.
I'm so glad. I just absolutely love doing it. And then because I'm trying to tell people about things that aren't so traditional, like not the Mexican, the Italian restaurants, and then. There's a place on Avenue A called Flinders Lane, which is Australian food.
Oh.
And I want to point that out because, number one, you don't really think of Australian fare as even like a type of food. And I had the best curry that I've ever had in my entire life there. There's only one curry on the menu. I think it's a coconut curry. I went there the day my boyfriend and I started dating, which was like 2 years ago. And we just randomly, I'm always like, I want to go to a new place and a highly rated place. And we went there and it was just so good. And he had steak and he said it was one of the best things he ever had. It was
great. Wow.
I don't really equate like Australians with curry.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny.
I was very afraid of curry for a really long time because I don't like spicy foods. Like I don't like spicy peppers and stuff like that. Like I always say like Taco Bell mild sauce is the spiciest I can go. But I've tried to be more adventurous. And curry is a different type of spice and I can handle a curry a lot better than I can handle like a jalapeno. It's a different kind of spice. And I love curries now. I order them. If there's a curry on the menu, I'm going to have it. It's so good. Yeah.
Just going back to this Indian food thing for a minute.
Sure.
A little yummy for you. have you ever been to this Indian restaurant on the East Side called Graffiti? It's owned and run by chef, a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
I have.
Chef Yahangir Mehta.
Okay.
Who is on Iron Chef.
Ooh.
Right? So she's a little bit fancy. It's communal tables. It's really, really tiny, though.
Oh, see, that's probably why I haven't gone. I hate people, but I'll go. I've been
incredible.
To Benihana. It's fine. I can handle it.
And not, well, it's a far cry from Benihana, that's for sure. You know, chef, it will not throw shrimp in your mouth.
Okay. All right. Good. No throwing, no singing. Those are my rules for restaurants.
But it's incredible because he does a lot of vegetarian fare. And at the time that I went the first time, I was living a gluten-free lifestyle. And so he did everything gluten-free.
Oh, wow.
And it's incredible.
Wow.
And he's a big mushroom guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd have a really, really great experience there.
I will absolutely get to go
there. Let us know if you want to go. We'll make a reservation for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I would tell your friends.
I love trying new places.
He's a
and
big
you're
supporter.
Right. It's Indian food is great for vegetarian. Mm-hmm.
And this is like really high, like a higher end, like great. You can, in this city, especially, I mean, in New York City, you can find really great, cheap Indian, but like this is really elevated and really just fucking delicious.
Oh, put that in your mouth.
Hello, I already have. You know, I'm surprised. I'm really proud of us. We have kept the dick talk to a minimum this episode.
I know.
Episode.
Well, I think it's mainly because there's other people in this restaurant.
Keep you on your best behavior.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, especially, Munoz.
I know. As the waiter grimaces at us. Yeah.
Well, Corinne, this has just been such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No,
this is so fun.
Thank you for coming. It's been really great as someone who doesn't know you. Getting to know you.
Mm-hmm. New fan of your pod,
you.
I'm sure.
Yes, I've been listening.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
I've been listening. I heard about, I just listened to the last one. When is it okay to leave? Or
oh, yeah. When did you know it was okay to leave? With the woman leaving with the ultra-Orthodox religion.
Yes,
what a story.
Nuts. It was a great story, though. Mm-hmm. I was captivated.
I'm so glad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something we wanted to talk about for a really, really long time, but obviously it's kind of like, it can be dangerous for people to talk about situations like that. You know, obviously like Leah Remini like got in a lot of trouble for just leaving Scientology and, you know, that's a made-up religion. So.
And where has anybody seen Katie Holmes?
Oh, my God.
She's dating Jamie Foxx,
and I follow her on Instagram, and she honestly seems like the most genuinely happy person in the world. And it's so weird.
I used to be really obsessed because I was a big Dawson's Creek fan.
Me too. I've met her,
and we have the same crooked smile.
Yeah, I like her. She was really kind on set. I'm in a classroom scene on Dawson's Creek. I was sitting right next to Katie Holmes. Yeah.
Oh, you went down to Wilmington, or she came up here?
No, we were. I was in Wilmington. My mom was like obsessed with Dawson's Creek, and when we were a kid, like she made me go on vacation with her, and then I got there and I found out it was just so she could like stalk Josh Jackson.
Oh my god.
Like, this is mom, like, again, super cool. I really
and then
love
I'm like
your mom.
And I'm like, but mom, why do I have to come and why do I have to be an extra on Dawson's Creek? Like, I didn't even want to do it. I ended up meeting my high school boyfriend there, so it was cool, but like, because he was also like down there randomly and lived in New York City.
Whoa.
So then I was like this Jersey girl with this cool Upper West Side boyfriend. He had like BarnesandNoble.com money. I was like,
wow.
I always accidentally date rich people. Wow. I don't know. I think it's because I don't care so much about money.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like gravitate towards me. They're like, oh this girl seems trashy. Like she won't spend a lot of money. I heard this bitch likes McDonald's. I think that's what it is, honestly.
Oh my God,
always end up
so
dating
funny.
People with no money when I can find the date.
Yeah, I had a dollar for every time somebody was like, I'm waiting for a check to clear.
Yeah, you'd have a dollar.
No. Yeah. Not again. Well, anyway, do you have anything to plug?
Yes.
I know you're going we already know what you're doing this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know when this is coming out. But, you can listen to the Guys We Fucked podcast. It's an anti-slut-shaming sexuality feminism podcast on all... Wherever you get your podcast, you'll find it. And then I'm coming out with a new podcast on April 2nd with Rosebud Baker, who's you might know from Elite Daily. She's awesome. It's called Two Less Lonely Girls. It is two adult women talking seriously about Justin Bieber every week.
I read about this, too.
Yeah, every week we dissect a different like, part of his career or personal life in an attempt to get to know him and Hollywood better. Obviously, it's like weird. And we're basically publicly stalking him.
And his big crooked penis.
Yeah, and then hopefully we get to meet him one day.
I'm really excited about that podcast because I just need a break from politics.
That's exactly why
everything.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
I was over, I mean, I just like, it's so hard, you know, our podcast is guys we fucked has gotten so serious with all the Weinstein and sexual assault. And, like, we've known about this. People have been writing to us about their experiences with sexual assault and rape for 4 years. You know, it's not, it wasn't new to us. So it's great that people are finally talking about it. But at a certain point, I just need to talk about Justin Bieber for 30 minutes a week just to keep myself sane.
Yeah, that's why I started when we started the food podcast, because I mean, I love, you know, my band Reformed Whores, and we work very hard, but it's just nice to have a little bit of a break and talk about food for a week, you know, during the week.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Rather than fighting the patriarchy, which we're still doing.
You always need to take a break so then you can regroup and be even stronger.
I kind of feel like that.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's true.
Anyways,
well, a big thank you to Corinne Fisher for coming to hang out with us today, and an even bigger thank you to Snack Taverna and our waiter Michael for hooking us up today.
Yes, they were awesome.
We love him. They were really, really awesome. And if you want to know more about us, you can follow us on Instagram at InYoMouthPod or on Twitter at InYoMouthPod. And you know what? Why don't you shoot us an email?
Oh my God, please. We haven't received a single email yet.
No, and we're still waiting to know what LL Cool J would make you the morning after.
Oh.
So email us at InYoMouthNYC@gmail.com. And with that, we'll say peace out.
Peace out, y'all.